Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and this is a Sunday roundup. The day's most anticipated interview came from Aaron Banks, the billionaire businessman and co-founder of the Brexit campaign group Leave.eu, who agreed to speak to Andrew Marr. Earlier in the week, the Electoral Commission announced that it was referring Banks to the National Crime Agency amid questions over Leave.eu's funding. Banks insisted that he had acted within the law.
£8 million, biggest donation in British political history, came from companies involved with you into Leave.eu.
Andrew,
where did the money originally come from?
It's not like I'm using a super injunction to try and hide my affairs.
Where did the money originally come from?
It came from a UK company that had cash generated in the UK.
Which UK company?
Rock Services. We've evidenced that to the Electoral Commission.
Rock Services is a shell company. It doesn't generate money.
You just said it's a shell company. You just read the FT.
We go along to companies' house and we look.
I mean, the FT, by the way, in their analysis... in their analysis of my business affairs, missed out a whole company that supplies nearly 85% of the underwriting of my business. They've selected... Let's be honest about why this is happening.
This should be easy for you to answer.
It should be very easy
for you to answer. What was the company that generated £8 million...
Rock Services.
Rock Services is not a trading company.
Well, we're going to have to agree to differ on that. I think I know my business...
What does Rock Services do that generates
Rock
that kind
Services
of money?
Rock Services has all sorts of revenue. It generates some
all
insurance
sorts of
income.
Revenue. What kind of revenue?
We insure 500,000 people in the UK, Andrew.
Rock Services itself insures 500,000 people.
It's a group of companies. I know it's complex for journalists to understand.
It's not complex.
It's very complex.
It looks like a company which doesn't generate that kind of money.
As far as I'm concerned, I've given you the answer to the question. We know what this is about. This is about undermining Article 50. It's undermining the Brexit result. And it's a collection of very vicious Labour MPs that have grouped together with The Guardian and FT to try to undermine Brexit. But, you know, we're at the point now, aren't we, where... You know, we know the Electoral Commission have got a bias on this. The chairman has called it a collection of nonsense.
The MPs are biased. The Financial Times is biased. Everybody is biased against
you. It's the Remain part of the equation. It's 52 versus 48.
It's beginning to sound a bit like a conspiracy theory. The MPs committee is terribly biased against you. They're all dreadful Remainers. The Electoral Commission are the same. I don't know about you think the National Crime Agency are biased against you as well.
I don't think they are, and I think they're going to see it for what it is.
Marr went on to interview the Housing Secretary, James Brokenshire, picking him up on the resignation of the Sports Minister, Tracy Crouch. Crouch resigned after Monday's budget, when it was announced that the government would not cut the maximum stake permitted on fixed-odds betting terminals until October 2019, which Crouch described as unjustifiable.
How is it possible for the government to lose one of its most popular ministers, Tracy Crouch, the Sports Minister, over these gambling machines? Why did you decide as a government to hang on for another 6 months? These are terribly addictive machines. People are killing themselves up and down the country. Tracy Crouch actually had met the mother of somebody who had killed themselves because of a gambling addiction. And yet you managed to lose her. It was complete incompetence, wasn't it?
Well, I'm obviously very sorry to see Tracy leave the government. She is outstanding colleague, someone who's worked very hard and very passionate about the issues that she believes in. But what I would say is that actually we were called on to introduce these arrangements prior to April 2020. We brought that forward to deliver this in October 2019, recognising that we need to do this. We need to bring these stakes down
still
and really respond.
For another 6 months. Well, she says in her resignation letter, two people will tragically take their lives every day due to gambling-related problems, and for that reason, as much as any other, I believe this delay is unjustifiable. How can she be wrong?
We want to see this delivered effectively for all of the good reasons that Tracy identifies. But it's wrong to say that there's been a delay. We had not committed to introducing on a particular day. We'd been called on to introduce it before April 2020. We are doing that. We want to see this introduced properly and effectively so that we can actually make the difference in this area.
It's just that she was the minister in charge of this and she uses the word delay, so it's quite hard to see how it wasn't a delay. And she says, from the time of the announcement to reduce the stakes and its implementation, over £1.6 billion will be lost on these machines, a significant amount of money in our most deprived constituencies. And again, she's right about this.
Well, it's right that we recognise the need for change. That's what the government is doing. That's why we're implementing this. We want to do this right. We want to do this properly. That's why we're bringing this into effect next October to respond and recognise the need and actually doing that speedier than some others were calling on us to do so that we can make the difference in people's lives in the way that we need to.
Sophie Ridge was joined by Yvette Cooper, the chair of the Home Affairs Select Committee. Cooper told Ridge that she had serious concerns about the state of the department that she oversees.
It does feel as if policy is somewhat chaotic, should we say, at the minute. We've had, of course, the Windrush allegations, the Windrush scandal that happened. We've also had the recent scandal of some people being forced to give DNA samples or asked to give DNA samples. Is it the Home Office that's not fit for purpose?
I think that's a really big question, and I am very worried, actually, about the state of the Home Office. I think we had the Alex Allen review that was published, or the executive summary that was published last week, which did raise questions about the advice that was given to Amber Rudd as former Home Secretary. But, of course, there are also really responsibilities that ministers have to take about the state of the department as well. But I think overall, we've just had one set of mistakes after another from the Home Office. The reason this matters is because these are the kinds of decisions that have huge implications for people's lives and really devastating effects for people's lives when the Home Office gets things wrong. We're going to be hearing from the Home Secretary in a few weeks' time. We're also going to be hearing from the Permanent Secretary as well, the head official in the department, so we will be putting those questions to them.
I mean, do you think there is an argument, for example, that the Home Office should be split up and immigration should be moved to a different department? Is it too big?
Personally, I do think that is something that should be looked at, but it's not something we've discussed on the Home Affairs Select Committee, so it's not a committee view. But I think when you've got all of the issues around crime and policing, we concluded recently that there hasn't been enough Home Office leadership on crime and tackling crime, for example, and working with the police to support the police. And then you've got all of the issues around immigration as well. So you could look at different structures. But as I said, we've not addressed this as a committee, so we don't have recommendations to make at this point.
Ridge also spoke to Tory Vice Chair Kemi Badenoch about Islamophobia within her party. After warnings from Baroness Wazi and calls for an inquiry from the Muslim Council of Britain, Badenoch contested the claim that the problem was widespread.
Do you think that some of the issues are the allegations, for example, around Islamophobia in the Conservative Party? I mean, the former chair, Baron Barsi, said it's very widespread, but it's being effectively ignored. I mean, is it something that the Conservative Party needs to take more seriously?
I completely disagree with Baroness Barsi's view on that. We take every single allegation of Islamophobia seriously. And where we do find party members or people who hold positions in local government doing things, we suspend them, we investigate.
So why is it then that the Muslim Council of Britain has called for an inquiry?
I don't think the Muslim Council of Britain is an organisation that would look very favourably on the Conservative Party anyway. So I think that there's probably a political motive there. When I have looked at the cases that we've talked about, I have seen strong investigations which have been done fairly. And there are many people in the party who are Muslims who don't recognise the allegations about Islamophobia.
And finally, the leader of the Liberal Democrats has hinted that he may stand aside to make way for the next generation as early as next year.
You've said before that when Brexit is resolved, you'll step down as leader. So what timetable is that? I mean, are you talking about next year?
Well, what I've said is that I'm trying to be professional about it and create an orderly succession. And I've said that there are certain jobs for me to do, and one of them is to see us through the Brexit process. We've got local government elections next year. There may be an early election. There are certain reforms I'm trying to put through the party, which will take some months. You know, when all of that's completed, then I'm ready to help the next generation move on. But I'm not setting a time on it.
But it sounds, from what you're saying, it could be next year. Is that right?
It's quite possible, but I'm not being definite about time because I'm working to specific tasks rather than setting an artificial deadline.
Would you be tempted by a job at Facebook?
No. I have worked in a big multinational company and have enjoyed doing it, but it was a very good experience. But no, I'm not looking for a job. I enjoy writing books and I enjoy my politics. I love being a constituency MP, and these are things I'll be continuing to do.
That's all for this week. I'm Cindy Yu, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes Store. And we also have a special offer. For a limited time only, you can try a month of The Spectator in print and online for free. If you don't like it, cancel any time, even within your free trial. Simply go to spectator.co.uk/trial. And if you enjoy this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.